Let's go to Nehemiah chapter number 12. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 12. So we've been in Nehemiah since November. And it's amazing to me, one of these books that we don't study a lot, how many times we can get so much out of these books. I remember when I first went over and was pastoring at Sycamore Grove, the first thing I did was start studying on Wednesday night through the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth is four chapters. We ended up going 8 months in the book of Ruth. We're about 6 months in here on Nehemiah, on 13 chapters. And there's so much that you can find if you're just willing to search the scriptures. We in West Virginia know a little bit about coal mining. We know what Bible study is. It's mining for nuggets. You're looking for them golden nuggets that the Lord's going to give you. And you may find something that somebody else doesn't get out of it, but you know what you won't find? Something that somebody else ain't found before. Somebody's found it already, amen? I like sometimes as preachers will say, the Lord gave me this. Well, he might have given it to us, but he gave it to somebody else a long time ago, amen? And so, as I've studied through the book of Nehemiah, every time I seem to get something different out of it. And we went through Nehemiah chapter number 11. And remember what I told you about that is we wonder sometimes why that book's there. When we get to the beginning of Nehemiah chapter number 12, it's more names. You wonder why those are there. But it changes in there. And the names go to, now these are the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel. This harkens back to chapter number 7. When the roll was opened up, well, these are the priests and Levites that came back with Zerubbabel. Remember, there was three waves that came back. There was those that came back with Zerubbabel. There were those who came back with Ezra. And there were those that came back with Nehemiah. Well, the work of the wall has been done. And here in Nehemiah chapter number 12, we're going to have a celebration of that work of the wall. Well, that's been done now for about 7 chapters. And we're just now getting to the celebration. Why? Because Nehemiah knew he needed to wait until the city had been refilled. And so Jerusalem needed to be replenished. Now, understand with books like Nehemiah and Ezra and Haggai and Zechariah that we are getting ready to enter into a period of over 400 years that God will go silent. Why? Because they came back and said, we want revival. And they got it. But guess what happened? It didn't last very long. And God had to bring judgment upon them again. And this time he went quiet on them. Man alive. If you've ever had a parent discipline you, you know that I would rather be whipped than to have a parent go quiet on me, than to have them say, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Well, just go ahead and whip me. Jack, nothing tears him up worse. He'll go, Dad, are you mad at me? And I'll say, no, I'm disappointed. Oh, I mean, just breaks him down. You know why? Because we'd rather be whipped. Well, Israel's getting ready to enter into a time when the Lord tells them, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. He goes quiet on them for 400 years. Can you imagine generation after generation after generation? And here in Nehemiah, they had just experienced revival. They're still in the throes of it. Revival has to be strived for. You know what I don't find in the New Testament? I don't find the word revival. I don't even find the word revive. You know where I do find it? In the Old Testament. You know why? The New Testament church didn't need it. They were alive. You know why we need it? Because we've gotten in the same position that Israel did. We have let go of the promises of God. And we've decided that we can do it without God. That's why you have things happen like happened on Monday. You had some people in their house scared to death because we've let go of the promises of God. And we've decided we're smart enough and we're wise enough and we can do it on our own. Well, here we are in the throes of revival. And I'm going to skip all these names because it'll take all the time that I have tonight to go through and try to read those names. Y'all can do that, but I want to show you a couple quick things. Look in verse number 8. Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Benanui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. Isn't that wonderful? They got people over the thanksgiving, amen. You know what we need in a church? We need people who are just over the thanksgiving. If you can't do nothing else, you can just be thankful, amen. We were driving down the road and I told Mom, I said, I think everybody in Lincoln County is running for an office. As many signs as I see out, I said, everybody but Sharon Wade's running for office. And I said, I cannot figure out how this many people run for office in Lincoln County. But you know what? They're all searching for a position. Well, you know what? We need people to fill positions in the church, and ain't nobody running for that. Remember a time that we'd have Sunday school elections and you'd have multiple people in there? Now it's hard enough to find one person to say, you know what? I'll put up with them kids. We need folks to step up. More the church needs it than in the world, amen? Because this is the only hope the world has. Right. The only hope the world has is Jesus. I was riding through Lincoln County going this way, down through here over toward Griffithsville. Got up top of the mountain. It said, choose Jesus in 2024. I said, finally an election sign I can get behind. Amen. It's what we need. We need some people who are just going to choose Jesus. It does not matter who's in the White House. And it does not matter who's in the governor's mansion or who's at the courthouse. Yeah, it helps. But do we not believe that God has control of it all? So God raised up Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a governor. He raised up Ezra. Ezra was a spiritual leader. Did God not have that all in his control? Neither one of them had to run for office. They got chosen. Amen. What's God chosen you for? What position? Maybe you're the one that just needs to be that person. Just gives God thanks. Just gives God glory. Just testifies of the goodness of God. Then it says in verse number 9 that some of the brethren were over against them in the watches. You know what I find there? It says that there was men that just gave thanksgiving, but there was others that were just over against them. They were just over basking in the glory. You ever been in a good testimony service? God gets to moving and people get to testifying. Maybe you don't get to testify. Maybe God don't give you something, but you just basking in the glory. You're just sitting over there against them in the watch. And you're getting blessed by what God's doing in their life. I remember one time we were in a tent meeting. And man, it got good that night. And people were testifying about how God had saved their children. About how God had healed them. About how God had done all these things. And all of a sudden this old man in the back stood up. And he just said, I just want to say I love the Lord. And he sat back down. And I'm telling you, that's the best testimony I'd heard all night. Because that's all God. Amen. And so sometimes you get in those positions and you're just soaking up what they've got. That's what these men were doing. And then we come down in chapter number 12. We get through all these names. We get down here toward the bottom in verse number 24. And it said to praise and to give thanks. Well, there were some other ones. Man, they just praised and gave thanks. We want to act like we're supposed to have some big, huge role within the church. And like we're supposed to have some big job or some title. I remember I was talking to a man not too long ago. And he said, why do you call me by a certain title? He said, you never call me the same thing. And it's never the title that I have. It's a work. And I said, because I call you what I need you to be at that time. His title was some big thing that didn't really say what he was. And I said, sometimes I need you to be the service manager. Sometimes I need you to be the parts manager. Other times I need you to be something else. I tell people you are what I need you to be. He said, well, what about you? What title do you give him? I said, I don't. I'm just Jody. Titles have never really mattered much to me. You know why? You can say you're anything you want to be. some people will say it enough, they actually convince themselves they are that. If you have to label you, you might want to refocus and see what you're doing. If I have to tell people I'm a Christian, they're not seeing it on me. If I have to tell people I'm a preacher, they're not seeing it on me. I don't care about titles. Doesn't matter to me. And so these people, they didn't care about titles. They're just there to praise and give thanks. It's all they wanted to do. You know what the church needs today? Some folks who are just going to praise and give thanks. Just going to tell God how good he is. Now, we don't do that for man's approval. People say, I just don't like to stand up and testify. I'm not much of a public speaker. Well, you ain't speaking to nobody else. You're talking to God. And if you're not talking to God in the private place in your life, don't come try to talk to him at church. That's a problem. You know what? But if we're talking to him in the private place, just talk to him like you would. Stand up and say, I love the Lord. You know why? That's not for anybody else. That's for God. People say it all the time. Preacher, you can't sing. When God puts it on my heart, I will. I tell people all the time, I sing to close service because it don't matter what time I sing, it's going to close it. But God's pleased. And I wasn't singing for you anyways. I was singing for the Lord. And we got to get out of this. We live in a world where everything is for everybody else. Social media influencers. Those people shouldn't influence anybody. They're the worst influence you can have. You know what we need? People that just get back to being all about God. That just decide it's not about what anybody else thinks. It's about my God in heaven. Is he pleased with what I'm doing? I know a young man, buddy, he'll go to soul win. He'll give a 7-point outline, amen. People look at that and go, man, he's crazy. Well, I'd rather have that than somebody won't talk about Jesus at all. If we can't go into the grocery store and tell somebody about Jesus, what are we doing? If we can't go to McDonald's and give somebody a gospel tract, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. I said it the other day that Paul said it in Ephesians. He says that you walk worthy of your vocation. Was he just talking to preachers? Absolutely not. Ephesians is a great church epistle. He was talking to the church. He said, walk worthy of your vocation. Adam, what's a vocation? It's your job. You're an HVAC guy by trade. That's your vocation. I sold generators. It's my vocation. Guess what? Your vocation is not that. Paul said that you walk worthy of your vocation. I don't think he was talking about your HVAC certifications. I don't think he was talking about my sales prowess. I think what Paul was saying was our job is to be about the Lord's business. So every day we get up and go to work. I know I'm talking to a bunch of retired people in here. I just retired on Friday. Amen. For the next 2 months, I'm retired. Praise the Lord. Beth was aggravating me about that. I said, I'm a senior. I told the church next Saturday down there in Iron Station, they're having the seniors meeting. I said, well, I can come to that. I'm retired. Praise the Lord. I signed up for AARP. They rejected me, but I'm still trying. But, it is our vocation to be about the Lord's business. He said, occupy until I come. That was the Lord said that. Do you know what that word occupy means? To be about the Lord's business. It doesn't just mean to sit on a church pew. It doesn't just mean to be in every service when the church doors are open. It means to be about God's business. We will go to work and we won't think a thing of it. And we'll do our job and we'll do everything we're supposed to do. But we'll go through Taco Bell and clam up about telling somebody God loves them. We might want to get a check on ourselves. We might want to realize this thing's a whole lot more serious. All the people that were afraid that the rapture might actually happen, I wonder how many of them soul win. I wonder how many of them go out and tell people about Jesus. They were afraid their loved ones were going to get left behind. How many of them did they drag to church on Sunday? Well, it wasn't Easter. Crowds were back down again, back where they normally are. Oh, preacher, that's not nice. That's truth. It's truth. Isn't every Sunday the Lord's Day? Yeah. Shouldn't every Sunday be Resurrection Sunday?
That's right.
But we've made it all about ourselves. Say, oh no, preacher, oh, we wear our best when it comes to Easter and Christmas. Oh, but it's just a regular old Sunday. I'll just throw on this old thing. We get up early, sunrise service. Why can't we do that every Sunday and get up early and pray? Pray for the preacher that's preaching that morning. Pray that God will move in our services. Man, our churches would be totally different if we just had some people that were over praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Some people that said, you know what? I am going to get up early every Sunday. And I am going to pray and I'm going to thank the Lord. Well, verse number 27, I can already tell I'm getting bogged down. I didn't think this would be very long tonight. You know what it means when a preacher says last point? Absolutely nothing. Verse number 27, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. So here's a special event. All right, this is their Easter service. This is their Christmas. This is a revival meeting. Amen. They're going to have a special event. Look what happens. They sought the Levites out of all their places. They said, this is homecoming. We need everybody in Jerusalem. See, there were Levites that were spread all throughout Israel. See, the Levites didn't just have a place in Jerusalem. No, the work of the Lord needed to be done all throughout Israel. And so they sought him out and said, come. We got a big deal going. We got big doings. We're going to have food. We're going to have fellowship. We might even preach a little bit. Said, come on out to the dedication of the wall. To bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness. You know what serving the Lord ought to be? Gladness. You know the problem with the world and what they see in the church today? Is that too many times they see the church walking around going, well, I guess the rapture might happen on Monday. That's what they said on TikTok. Who wants to join up with that? They're excited at the pickleball courts. They're even excited at the bar. But Christians act like we don't have anything to give anybody. Why? Man, churches are some of the most depressed places you'll ever see anymore. You know why old church hurt? I'm so tired of hearing about church hurt. My lands, I get sick of that. People get hurt at Walmart every day. I just did yesterday. I couldn't get my receipt out of the thing. It jammed. I still go back to Walmart. You ever been hurt at a car dealer? I see you're all still driving to church today. You ever get messed up on a baseball or football field? Man, I've had referees and umpires let me down. Guy last night, Christian school game, couldn't say anything. They'll throw me out. That guy was calling everything low and away. You can throw one way up high in the zone, he wouldn't call a thing. But low and away, he's calling strikes every time. I wasn't mad about that. But guess what? When Jack plays baseball again, I'll still go back. I'll still go back. Monday night, they messed up our schedule at Shawnee. Got all kind of stuff going on with the storms. They had to cancel our game. Guess what? I still went back Tuesday. I still gave them the money. You know why? Because you'll do that when you're committed to something. All these people that quit because somebody didn't like their coleslaw, they weren't ever committed to this thing anyways. They might not even be saved. People that give up on church because a preacher said something to them one time and the preacher didn't even know what he was saying. The Holy Ghost was preaching to him. Oh, but I'm going to quit. You know why? Because we're not really committed to this thing anyways. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need to get over ourselves and we need to get back to being Christians and we need to get back to doing what they had to go gather up all these people. You know what we had to do for homecoming and special meeting? We had to go beg people to come back to church. You know what we had to do after the pandemic? We had to beg people to come. I've long since gone past that. If they ain't back by now, they ain't coming back and they don't want to be here and they didn't want to be here to begin with. That's why they never did anything. Quit worrying about them and go get somebody else. Preacher, that's not nice. It's truth. It's truth. You know who will get them back? God will. God will draw them back. But so many times it said they had to go get them. Had to go draw them. You know, sometimes they'll come and sometimes they won't. I wonder how many Levites didn't come back. Cost himself a blessing. They said, nah, we're good out here in Naphtali. Nah, we're good over here in Bethlehem. Grass is greening up. We're good over here. Wonder how many of them cost themselves a blessing by not coming back. It says they came back with gladness. We need people with gladness. You know what? It'll help people when you invite them to church and you sound excited about going yourself. I remember one time some folks came and visited a church I was at. And they came and visited and they said, well, where's so-and-so? I said, well, I don't know. They said, well, they invited us. Good grief. Invite somebody to church and don't even show up. Can I tell you that's what we do a lot of times? We invite people to church, say, I'd really like you to come to revival. It's probably going to go till 9:30 every night, so get ready. Settle in. Oh, yeah, I'm excited to come to that. But we'll go to a ball game till 11 o'clock at night. Hope it goes into overtime. It's so fun. And we'll tell people, man, you ought to spend to that ball game I was at. But revival goes into overtime and we go, preacher should have cut that off after the third song. We wonder why people don't come to church. Because we're not excited about it. When we get back being excited about it, I wonder if when they went to get the Levites, they went and said, we're having a dedication of the wall. You might want to come. They might have some food after service or something like that. Or I wonder if they said, man, we're getting ready to dedicate the wall. All the hard work we put into it. Man, finally, we're going to dedicate the wall. Everybody's coming back. Everybody's coming home. We're going to dedicate the wall. Yeah, because it says they did it with gladness. You know what else it says? They did it with thanksgiving. Man, thank God for all the meetings. Thank God for the vacation Bible schools. Thank God for the regular old Sunday schools. Thank God for the regular old services. Because people got saved in. I wonder how many times on Sunday morning we just sit back and say, thank God for what he's done. Man, if these walls could talk, they wouldn't talk, they'd shout. But you know what? We get so ho-hum and so used to this stuff, we just forget how exciting this thing is. Man, where else? If we walked into a hospital and saw a doctor save somebody's life, we'd pat that doctor on the back and we'd tell him how excited we were and thank him for being there. Yeah, we'll go to church and God will save somebody. And we'll go, I wonder if Bob Evans is open. Nobody goes to Bob Evans anymore. I don't even know why I said that. It's how we are sometimes. Maybe we ought to just get a good old check on our Thanksgiving and our gladness. Hard to complain, hard to not be happy when you just think about what God has done for you in your life. Man, where God's brought me from, where God's brought my family from. We were talking to a young lady the other day, and I was just reminiscing on first time I ever brought Beth into a Baptist church. And Beth grew up in the United Methodist Church. She was one nil away from Catholicism. Amen. It's a miracle God saved her. I mean, I'm serious. Her mom and dad are trusting in religion, and they're trusting in baptism. And it's really a miracle God saved her, if you really think about it. She was so steeped in religion. And it wasn't just regular old religion. It was that CEO religion, Christmas, Easter only. And that's the hardest stuff to get over. The ones who don't know a thing about the Bible, but think they know everything because they've been told something. You know why you can believe stuff you've been told? Because you don't read your Bible. You can believe everything I tell you. If I went crazy, you wouldn't know it. You know why? Because you don't read your Bible. I'm not saying you. I'm saying a general you. Hopefully some of y'all can tell me I was absolutely nuts. I'd want to know. But she was so steeped in religion, and she was talking to a young lady who's battling that same thing. You know what the young lady said? She said, I don't think I got saved, but I accepted Jesus into my life. We can say a whole lot about that, couldn't we? You know what she said? I got saved. She just don't understand the terminology. Because she grew up in religion and they never talked about it. She said, well, I gave the Lord, I gave him the keys. He's got the whole house. And I'm sitting there thinking, honey, you got saved. You just don't know it. You know why? Because she's so steeped in that religious terminology. But I got to thinking about Beth when Beth was like that. I remember the first time I brought her into this church, Jackie Miller was preaching. Beth thought he was going to have a heart attack. She's scared to death. She didn't ever want to come back to a Baptist church. She said, that ain't for me. Now here we go to Baptist churches all across the country. And here she, you know why? Because God brought her out of it. I remember a time when she would absolutely fight me if I told her to wear a dress to church. She would. She was so rebellious. She's stubborn. And I'd say it if she was sitting right there. She's still stubborn in a lot of ways, but now they're good ways. But she wouldn't wear a dress to save her life. Wouldn't do it. Homer said, well, I don't know. I don't want to have to talk to her. Maybe we can get Wanda to talk to her. I was like, well, and Wanda said, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I said, one of you two men can talk to her about that. Well, we prayed. One Sunday, we got up to go to church. We was leaving the house, and there she was in a dress. I didn't say a word. Sunday night, she was in a dress. And every Sunday since, and every Wednesday since, there she's been. I just got to thinking as we were talking to this young lady about how good God has been in my family. How good God has been in my life. And how good and faithful God has been. And if you can't get excited about that, I don't know what you can get excited about. No ball game's ever been that good, Adam. I'm just telling you.
Yep, that's right.
And then it says, and man, I'm really going to get bogged down here. And with singing, with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps. Say, preacher, why is that important? Because they had experienced all kind of different instruments in captivity. See, the Babylonians, they used all kind of different things. And it said that they hung their harps. Psalm 85 said they hung their harps on the willows. They laid them down. They still had music. Say, preacher, why is that important? We need to be real careful that the music of the world don't infiltrate our worship. Say, how do you get all that? It says they gathered themselves together with singing and with cymbals, psalteries, and harps. You know what the Lord told them to sing with, what they did in David's days? What they played was cymbals, psalteries, and harps. They didn't have all this modern stuff. They didn't have the percussion. Remember, David got in trouble for all that. David had all kinds of instruments in the band when he went back to get the ark, and they brought the ark back the wrong way. When he went back to get it the second time and they brought it back the right way, it was harps and psalteries and cymbals. It was the right stuff. We've got to be very, 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 very careful in the day we live in not to let worldly music infiltrate the church. When I say worldly music, I'm not even talking about rap and pop and country. You'd be better off listening to that than some of this so-called Christian music. Say, oh my goodness, how can you say that, preacher? That stuff won't mess up your doctrine like the other stuff will. I'm not telling you, don't go and say, Jody said we can listen to rap. It is not what I said, and I'll get the recording to prove it. I said, I'd rather you listen to that than to listen to some of the stuff they call Christian music today. It's wicked. It's filthy. And it comes from a place that's called Christian. Can I tell you that I can go to the store and I can take a mustard bottle and paint it red? And I can even put a Heinz ketchup logo on it, but it's still mustard. It ain't ketchup. Can I tell you, you can slap a label on anything you want to, and it don't have to be that. Some of this stuff, and I'll say it outright, that's on K-Love and all of these different stations. I don't even know what all there is anymore. All these different stations where you don't know if they're singing about Jesus or their boyfriend or girlfriend. Where it's about as worldly as can be. Oh, well, preacher, it's better than the other stuff. Well, why does it have to be? This is not the day and age of 8-track players. You have a phone that you can get good gospel music on. Well, yeah, you don't have to listen to terrestrial radio anymore. It's not how this works. You say, well, preacher, why is it so bad? Because that's what the devil's using to infiltrate good churches. He's using it to infiltrate good churches. You can get on and you can study about all this. I don't have time to get into it tonight, but the syncopated beats. Every worldly song has syncopated beats, and every one of those CCM songs has syncopated beats. Do you know what those syncopated beats do? It's that 7-11 music. You know what I'm talking about. Seven bars singing 11 times. And it's the same thing over and over and over again. And it gets emotions going in your mind. And it gets all these things stirred up where you're not focused on worshiping God. You're thinking about a situation that you've overcome in your life. A lot of the storm songs are like that. They don't get your mind focused on God. Do you know what the old rugged cross does? It makes me want to look at that. It makes me want to focus on God. Do you know what some of these storm songs do? Makes me want to think about a time in my life when I was so down. Yeah, okay, maybe it turns to God. But what it does is it gets something going in your mind. And the chemicals it fires off in your brain makes you crave more and more and more of that music. That's why people listen to it over and over and over and over again. Because it's like a drug. It's the same chemical that heroin causes to fire off in your brain and gets you addicted to it. Well, so what's the big deal? Well, it's no longer about worship and it's about money. These people are using it to make money. And we preach against things like Hillsong and Bethel and Elevation Worship. And I used to be able to preach against Elevation and not have an issue with it. Now I'm right in their backyard. They have a campus 5 minutes from me. And there's so many people ate up with that worldliness. Elevation is Stephen Furtick. You know what Stephen Furtick says on Easter? We're not going to worship based on Calvary. We're not going to talk about the resurrection. And we're not going to talk about the cross because we don't want to offend anybody by the gore. That's what now I'll be facing right in my backyard. I can promise you the church I pastor won't go that way. But it all starts with music. What was the devil in heaven? He's the chief musician. He was Asaph in heaven. What do you think he's going to use today? Music. Music. And we're allowing this stuff to creep into our churches. You know what? Once the devil creeps in, it's hard to get him back out. Because once people get addicted to that garbage, it's going to be hard to ever turn it back around. Then before you know it, people are going to be having NIVs, ESVs, and HIVs, or whatever else is out there. You say, preacher, it's not that serious. It absolutely is that serious. And even some of the Southern gospel today is just as bad. There's Southern gospel songs that are being written by guys who wrote Tequila Sunrise. Just Another Whiskey Night. Those guys are writing Southern gospel songs. You say, well, they got saved and did that. No, 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 no. They wrote the gospel songs first. Be careful. Be careful. Music is the devil's tool to get in and break up a church, break up a good worship experience. If the worship does not focus you on Jesus Christ, it is not worship. I killed the service right there. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of, one of them places. Also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Asmaveth. For the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves. Now, I want to get into this more next week, and this is where I really want to get tonight. I got bogged down, amen? All right. But that stuff needs to be said. You know why? Because it's not being preached in many places today. And that's why a lot of places are going the wrong way. But here's what it all comes down to. It says, and the priests and Levites purified themselves. Okay, so the singers, the Sunday school teachers, and the preachers, they all purified themselves. But look what it says. And purified the people. And the gates, and the wall. You say, well, what's that got to do with us? Well, so the priests were the preachers. The Levites were the singers, and they were the teachers. They were the Sunday school teachers. The people were the congregation. The walls are the walls, and the gates, the front door. What are you saying, preacher? It all must be purified, and it all must be kept pure. Jesus said he's preparing himself a church without spot and blemish. Listen, we're going to have to answer for what gets in the gates. We're going to have to answer for what gets on the walls. We're going to have to answer for what gets in the people. We're going to have to answer for all that. So why wouldn't we want to keep that pure? It says, be ye holy for I am holy. It's where I'm really going to lose people. Probably not here. Hope not. Holiness is still a biblical doctrine. We don't want to live that way anymore. Oh, preacher, you're a legalist. Farthest thing from it. Preaching holiness is not legalism. But you know what? There's an entire world out there that, well, preacher, if you preach that, you're judging me. Well, let it judge you. I didn't judge you. The Word of God judged you. Because the Word of God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if Christ is holy, what are we supposed to be? Holy. There's shirts out there you can go look on Amazon. I love Jesus, I just cuss a little bit. No, you don't love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you'd quit cussing. Oh, well, preacher, there's all the stuff that's on TV. I can't find anything. This show's not as bad as the other one I used to watch. It's still bad. Quit watching it. You're still opening up cracks for the devil to get in. Well, preacher, I just got mad. Road rage is my biggest sin, and I just got upset and cussed that person. It ain't no big deal. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. What if they heard you do that? And then you're going to go show them your Jesus bumper sticker? What are you going to do? That's why I don't have any bumper stickers on my car. Nothing that identifies me as that. I'm just kidding. Holiness, purity, still a thing. You know what they don't teach your children in school anymore? Purity. Somebody's got to teach them. Who's going to teach them? Well, how are you going to teach them that if you ain't living that way? They're going to find you to be a fraud and a fake. So important to live holy. How do we tell our kids not to do something that we do? If we tell our kids not to fuss and fight, but they see us fussing and fighting with our spouse, how are we going to tell them not to fuss and fight with each other? We're not setting the right example. If all we ever do is complain about each other, then our kids get upset and complain about somebody at school, and we go, that's not very nice. Well, you've just done it for an hour. How can you tell them not to? If all we do is complain about church or complain about having to go, what are our kids going to say? Church isn't necessary. If it's not important in your life, it will be unnecessary for your kids and your grandkids. Why do we preach on this stuff? Because it's still a thing. Man, I fall short of it every day. I'd love to be able to get up here one time and preach when I haven't done something wrong that day. That would be great. But y'all would have to come, and I'd have to preach as soon as I got out of bed.
And then it's iffy, right?
It's iffy. Depends on how I woke up. Beth, last Saturday night, they say never go to bed mad. Well, you know, sometimes you just go to bed to get revenge. Amen. Beth and I had a little tiff about something. I don't even remember what it was. It's so unimportant. We get aggravated with each other as people, and it's always so unimportant when you look back on it. It seemed important at the moment. Well, so Beth said, I'm going to go sleep in this room next door that had a twin bed. And she said, Jack can sleep with you. Well, that was the ultimate revenge, because in the middle of the night, WrestleMania came into my bedroom. I was in a figure four leg lock. The Macho Man Randy Savage dropped an elbow right in my chest. I got punched in the face. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat did a flying crossbody off the top. I'm telling you the truth. And I looked at Beth the next morning. I said, you did that on purpose, didn't you? She said, yes, I did. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. But man, it's hard to tell Jack, man, don't fuss. when we just spent time fussing. We're all guilty of that. And it is so important for us to live holy and pure lives. It would change our churches. It would absolutely change our communities. More importantly, it'd change our homes. It'd change where we live. Mom might say, well, it's just her and Annie there at the house. How would it change anything? Well, it will. It'll make you happier. It'll make you smile more. Annie might get saved. Amen. Somebody said, all dogs go to heaven. I said, that tells you where cats go. I don't even know how I got on that. I better just shut up before I get in trouble. Amen. Holiness, purity are still things we got to teach them. And they're still things we got to preach on. Because you're going to see next week how important that is. They purified themselves before they ever went to the service. They invited people, yes. They brought in the singers. They had everything ready. They had planned out the service. But before they ever went to the service, you know what they did? They purified themselves. And it wasn't just the priest. We know the high priest was supposed to purify himself. But it was everybody. You know what would make a difference on Sunday morning is if before we stepped through the doors of the church, we had purified ourselves. We had lived holy that day so far. And we said, I'm going to go to church in a holy mood, worshiping a holy God. It'd change everything. So you'll see next week how it changed the whole atmosphere. It'll change the whole atmosphere of our lives if we'll just try to live holy. Say, preacher, I can't do it. I've tried before. Well, yeah, we all have. But the Lord knows we can't keep it. If we could have kept it, he wouldn't have had to come. But you know what he wants? It says he's preparing a church. He's preparing. You know what he wants from us? For us to at least try. For us to do the best we can. And to do the best we can to live holy. Father God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you do for us each and every day. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, just to want to live holier lives. Lord, to want to go farther for you, Lord. Lord, we want to see you move in these last days. Lord, we know the hour's getting dark and the light's getting dim. Lord, but let us be a bright and shining light in these last days. Lord, we love you. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.